Mr. O'Sullivan, Reel 1. Right, Mr. O'Sullivan, could you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Birmingham in 1923 and I came to 1990.
And what did your mother and father do?
My father worked in the buildings, he was a builder's labourer. And my mother was just, well, my mother had 11 children.
And where did you live? What kind of house?
A two-bedroom row of houses. What do you call them?
A terrace.
A terrace, yeah. Two-bedroom terrace.
And what about the rest of your family?
Well, I was number 10. And the two older brothers both worked on the buildings with my father, but there was plasterers, there was tradesmen. Another brother was a blacksmith. Another brother was an engine driver. And myself and the younger brother, he was an apprentice butcher, and he was still at school when I started. And I had four sisters.
Could you just go through the list of names of your brothers and sisters?
There's two families. My mother was married twice. They call the older ones Ball. Reginald, who was the oldest. Vivian, who was still alive. Kenneth and Emma. And then there was seven O'Sullivans. Kit, Kathleen now, I think. Kathleen, John, Wynn, Jim, there was two Pats because one of them died, and Terence Thomas.
I think off the tip you said that your mother was, your mother's first husband was killed in the First World War.
He was killed in 1915. He was an ambulance man, stretcher bearer. And then she married my father in 1917.
So what kind of place was Scunthorpe?
Well, there were five villages at that time. There was Fodingham, where I lived, New Brumby, Crosby, Scunthorpe, Morbundy. And he became a boy in 1936, 1937, and made a boy. Steelworks was the main works. There were steelworks all the way around the town. And if you got a job at steelworks, you reckon you had a job for life. And we had one steelworks where they made special steel, stainless, which was one of the best steelworks in the area. But unfortunately, not anymore.
Was there any other industries in the town at that time?
Well, no, the co-op was one of the biggest employers, actually, imagine, with its shops and its milk rounds and butchers. You see, the butchers and the milk, the jar, they went door to door. And there was nothing else, really. Not. The co-op was one of the biggest employers, apart from the steelworks.
Now, you started school. How old were you when you started school, and where did you go to?
I went to Fodingham Infant School when I was 5. When I was 11, I moved to Brumby Boys School. And when I was 4, and then I went to Doncaster Road Boys School when I was 13, because we flitted from one side of town to the other. And I left school when I was 14.
Now, just going back to your first school days, what kind of discipline did you have at that? What kind of school was that?
It was really strict discipline. You could get the cane for looking as though you're going to say something. But there was nobody was ever overzealous. The school teachers were quite good, really. I enjoyed my school days. Really enjoyed them.
What were your favourite subjects?
Maths. Still is. English, I was never very good at English. And I was passable at English, but maths, History I wasn't very good at, but I enjoyed listening to history. Geography, I was a fairly average, or better than average scholar at school.
Now, you said off the tape that you were selected to go to the grammar school.
Yes.
Could you just describe the process of how that
worked?
Well,
when you were 11 years old, you set an exam at your school, at your individual schools, and if you passed this exam, then you set a further exam at the grammar school. And depending on your marks, on on whether you passed or failed, then you got offered a place at the grammar school. And I was offered a place at the grammar school, and my mother, my parents just couldn't afford to send me. My sister Emma went to a grammar school, and she told me later in her life that it was the worst 3 years of her life, because she never had the same as the other children. She went to a school in boots, where all the kids had shoes. She never had a tennis racket. Everything was sitting down with her, and she said it was really the worst 3 years of her life. And I probably would suffer the same thing if I'd have been.
So, in terms of when you were growing up in the late 20s, was money tight, do you think?
Very tight. But my father was a man who never, I don't think my mother ever knew how much he earned. And he was, before I left school, he was on old age pension. Because he was 55 when I was born, he was 65 and retired when I was 10 years old. But he went back to work. We were better off after he became 65, because we got 10 shillings a week extra. That was his pension. So my brothers was growing up, my older brothers was married. But even when the older brother got married, he went to work in Walsall, and he left his son, who was only 5 years younger than me, to live with us at Frodingham. So we were still back to 10 in a bedroom.
So, did you feel poor?
Well, no, I don't think we did, because everybody in the area was in the same boat. There were big families. We was envious of some other kids, but I never really felt poor.
And the early 30s was the time of the so-called depression, the Great Depression. Did that affect Scunthorpe as a steel town? Were people laid off, or did you carry on as normal?
Well, we carried on as normal. I don't remember the depression in affecting me in my life. Because the depression was before the 30s, surely.
So we're still talking about school in Scunthorpe, Mr. O'Sullivan. What about your fellow pupils? What kind of
pupils? Well, I had some very good friends. Most of them went in the forces, as soon as I did. But we had brothers and sisters of my own age, and we used to have a gang of friends, because we were all in the same background, and we really enjoyed life. I'm sure we did.
So what were you able to do as a child?
Well, we played football, we played cricket. We only played cricket with the tin lids out off the dustbins and any ball you could get hold of. And very often, if we played cricket in the 10-foots, which was where we played, we would never let the Sullivans bat first. Because at 7:30, my mother fetched us in. We was in bed by 8:00 every night. And even when I was later growing up, we was in bed early.
So your mother was quite strict?
Very strict. She had to be with 11, didn't she? You see, my sister, my oldest sister, she's 90 now, but she helped bring us up, because she was the oldest one of the oldest girl in the Ball family, and she really was a big help. She must have been a great big help to my mother, but we didn't think she was a big help, because we all said she was a bully. But she was always doing what as I say, with 11 bloody kids, well, 10 kids and one bad, but with 10 children, they, and the, you know, the families were the same. The Garretts, who lived next door but one, they had 8 children. The Southwells had 5. The Thomases was better off, they'd only got 3. And that's what it was, everybody was in the same boat.
Now, you said that you passed for the grammar school but didn't go. So where did you go at that stage?
I went to Bugby Boys Senior Boys School.
And what kind of place was that?
Well, it was a new school, which was built, well, it had been built about 5 years when I got there, and it was just boys, there was no girls, it was the one to mix school. They built another one at Ashby for the girls. The taught me was taught to swim, I went to the swimming baths, or to walk to swim, taught to the swimming baths. We played football. There were 2 distinct parts of the school, there was A side and B side. And I was always in A side. And then when the mother moved to Scunthorpe itself, into a council house with 3 bedrooms, which we thought was a palace, we went to a different school. I did, and the younger brother did. But the brother older than me, he carried on at Grimby Boys School until 2014. He didn't transfer.
Now, just to stop you there, Mr. Sullivan, you moved to a council house.
Yeah.
In what ways was that house, you've mentioned it had an extra bedroom, and what other ways was it better then?
Well, it had 3 bedrooms. It had hot and cold water, a bathroom, which we hadn't at Fottingham. We had a bath at Fottingham, which my father, it was a big iron bath. And he built a shed, and it was put in there with the side of the copper, and everyone had a bath on a Friday night, which everybody bathed on a Friday night. The copper was put on, and that was it. But when we moved to Davy Avenue, 3 bedrooms, hot and cold running water, bathroom, it was different again. And then later on, about a year later, they moved us into a 4-bedroom house, which it meant we all had a lot more room.
Now, what were your thoughts about a career at this stage, about what you were going to do?
I always wanted to be a butcher. Always. When I was 12, I started working for on the weekend for a bloke called Rhodes, Alfie Rhodes, just as a delivery boy, really, on a Saturday, you know, delivering meat. Because in those days, you delivered meat, you never had 3 miles to deliver a piece of beef, you know. All the butchers were the same in them days. They delivered the meat on butcher boys. And when I got to be 14 and left school, I joined Dickinson's, which was a big butcher. They had the killing slaughterhouse at the back of the on the premises itself, and that's when I first became apprentice. During the morning we delivered the meat, and then in the afternoons helping the slaughterhouse or plucking chickens, and then go to market with them on a Thursday to buy livestock, chickens, to buy butter, eggs at a big market, which was the biggest market. Scunthorpe had a cattle market, which we used to buy, where we'd go buy cattle, and very often we had to drive them up. And we've had them run away from us and cause lots of damage. Sheep, we've had sheep up this street, and a dog would come in and scatter them.
Could you just describe that when you had a problem with the cattle? What would happen?
Well, the gaffer bought 2 Scottish bullocks, and their horns were tremendous. They're about, I think, from tip to tip, they're between 4 and 5 foot, and they got away. And they got down onto, just outside of town, there was a big, sort of a, where they'd been sucked in ironstone, and it had filled with water, where they'd done. And these 2 bullocks got into them. There was hills of ironstone, there was water, and we chased them 2 bullocks round and round. And until eventually there was 18 men chasing after two bullocks. And we couldn't get them into a lorry because the gaffer didn't have a lorry, you know. So we had to drive them back into town. And we had to drive them right through the main part of town. And then we had to go back and clean up where they made a mess, which is a deal all over the place.
So why didn't your boss have a lorry to
come? Well, because normally we just bought stuff at the market. The market was what, a couple of miles away, and we just drove them up the street. We had no bother. There'd be four or five men. Well, there'd be three apprentices. The main butcher, the main slaughterman, and two more older men. Maybe six of us driving three or four bullocks up the street, we'd have no trouble. Two would walk in front, and we all had, and two or three behind driving up. The biggest tool was people or dogs. But them two Scottish bullocks was terrible. And once they get warm, we got them back to the slaughterhouse. But we couldn't kill them that day because it was too warm. So it meant the killing of meat for that week was put back a day, which it meant a lot of work to catch up. Because we killed the meat on a Monday, the shop did go on a Monday for sales. We killed the meat in the slaughterhouse, pigs, sheep, a bullock, maybe two bullocks. And that was one of them in the slaughterhouse that we start selling it on the two of them. Liver and lights and that sort of thing was all hung up in the kitchen. And
you didn't have any refrigeration at this time?
Yeah, we had a walk-in fridge. But he was a really top-class butcher. And I got paid 7 shillings a week. Which I had to give to my mother, the 7 shillings. If we didn't forget any orders during the week, the butcher paid us a shilling extra, which I kept. My mother gave me 6 pence pocket money. But if we didn't forget any, if we hadn't made any mistakes during the week, we gave a shilling extra.
So what would you do with your pocket money?
Well, you could go to pictures maybe three times with 6 pence. It was tuppence to go in pictures. But you didn't take any women, you didn't take a girl, anything like that. But if they had the woman 6 pence, then I was well off for that week.
And what kind of films did you go to?
It was cowboys. Well, we weren't any film really. It was somewhere to go. And then I started dancing.
And how old were you when you started dancing?
About 16. I used to go to a place called Pop Campbell. He was a referee for the All English, English Championships. We had a good time there. But it used to cost 6 months to go in. The lads could come out and go to the Royal Hotel, at interval. But the girls, if they come out, we weren't allowed back in. Because he said if they went out, that was it. That if he had no more responsibility for them. But I threw in there that. And then...
Did you get any bad habits at this stage, drinking, smoking?
No, I didn't smoke.
Gambling?
No, I didn't gamble until after I came out of the forces. And I've gambled every day since.
Now, you were just 14 years old. You were in working in a butcher shop. Did you not feel squeamish about?
No.
Not at all?
No. And we killed all the animals, never. Run chickens' necks. Kill pigs. When I was first apprentice at Dickinson's, you always worked with an older apprentice. Dickinson employed 12 men. Well, 12 people from. There were 6 apprentices, a slaughterman, an assistant slaughterman, a cook, who made pork pies and. And here the cook and an assistant who did the cooking up. And you always work with an older man. And the first time we them days he was the unnamed killer, when they killed in peace. But they also, sometimes, the senior, the gaffer, would use a pole axe to drop a beast, especially the Scottish ones. Because there was always, when you pull the head to the wall, through the ring fastened in the wall, and you pull the head was facing the wrong way to get. So he had to hold his head back so the foreman could hit it down at the pole axe. When you're down at the pole axe, then you put a pith cane. You know the canes they use at school, where they get, you have to put that through the hole in its head and through its brain. And then they cut its throat. And my job was, when they cut the beast's throat, they caught the blood in buckets, and it was my job to stir it and get all the veins out so the blood could be used for black puddings. And you'd be amazed how many veins there was in a bucket full of blood.
Was there any of your workmates that couldn't cope with the work?
No, not really. Well, the ones have been, you know, they've been, in them days there was plenty of jobs. You could, there was plenty of work for everybody. You could go to steelworks, you could go to, if you went to the co-op, you could start as a, just as a junior in a shop, and you could work your way up. You a job for life in nearly every, in them days.
So you became a butcher's boy. What did your friends from school, what did they do?
So most of them went to the steelworks. And the steelworks was always promotion through time. First in, you moved, you went onto a blast furnace. The senior man, you moved up in rotation. Same with if you went onto a blast furnace. And my two brothers went into a blacksmith shop. The oldest one, Jack, he got to be a striking, you know, so that's a blacksmith assistant, within 9 months of starting at the blacksmith shop. My younger brother, Jim, followed him, and 2 years later, he was still as far up the shop as when he started, because nobody had died, nobody had retired, so there was no move up. And he eventually he packed that in and went and became an engine driver.
So you were on 7 shillings a week. Were your old schoolmates, were they on around the same? Would that be like the wage for a young 14-year-old in his first
no,
job?
No, what work steel works? You got a pound and seven for steel works.
Were you not envious of your friends then?
Well, no, because I wanted to be a butcher. And when war started, that's what did it.
Why did you want to be a butcher then?
I don't know. I just wanted to be a butcher.
Did it? Did the job help in terms of your mother and father? Were you able to bring food home and things like that?
No. If anything we brought home from butcher's shop was paid for. The butcher was very strict in that. I mean, at Christmas time, if we spent Christmas time, you'd spend maybe 7-8 nights running up to Christmas, plucking turkeys and chickens, and then there'd never be a bit extra in your pay packet, but that's a lot. Maybe 3 bob.
So, you're working as a butcher's boy. Were you aware of what was happening in the wider world with situation with?
Yeah, we had the Father Youth had a wireless on all the time, listening to the news. It wasn't as well as it is today. I mean, we didn't get as wide ranging knowledge as we do today. I think today is because you can see it, isn't it? The impact is different, isn't it?
So when did you first start to feel that maybe there was going to be a war and Britain was going to be involved in it?
All about 12 months before it actually started. But it was never going to last, was it?
And what about Mr. Chamberlain and his attempts to forestall the war? Were you aware of that, the trip to Munich and so on?
Yes, I remember Munich. When he said there was going to be no war, and he tried to appease with Hitler. But I think the majority of adults, and I mean, I've got 4 older brothers, who were thinking in terms of would they be called up, they still thought there'd be a war, because they didn't look to be any. I was 16 when I started.
What did your mother and father think about Chamberlain at that moment when he achieved peace, thought he'd achieved peace?
Well, my mother was very hopeful that he had. My father, being an Irishman, said he'd never bloody do anything. But it didn't affect my father in the same way, because he was, although he'd seen the previous war, the Great War, it hadn't affected him. And I mean, he just...
Why hadn't it affected him?
Well, he lived in Ireland. And Ireland didn't enter the war, didn't it?
So when did your father come to England?
After the Great War. Him and one of his brothers came to England after the Great War. They sailed from Dublin and landed at Liverpool. And the older brother decided that he was going to America, and he joined the ship and went to America. My father went to the Island Man, and he owned his trade as a young man was a harness maker. And he opened a shop on the cows, Island Man. And he had a business there. And then he came to England about 1933. And he helped to build the local steelworks. But he was only a labourer. He worked at Redburn Works. It was Cliffs. Redburn was local steelworks before they ever got into being a British Steel. And he worked at Redburn, built in the Cocoons. And he lodged with my mother in Cliff Street. Because my mother had four children and no money in the house. So she had a lodge, she took a lodger. And he married her.
And so were you brought up as a Catholic?
Yes.
And was that a strict Catholic upbringing?
It was stricter than it is today, a lot stricter. We had to go to catechism twice a week, we had to go to church, mass on a Sunday morning, and very often on a Wednesday. And it wasn't until I grew up, when I went in the army really, that we got away from it. We were still, we're on the tape, aren't we? I'm not a Catholic today, not a true Catholic. I don't go to church. And when I go over to Ireland, I don't go to church. So. We're not true Catholics. I am. My sister over in Ireland is.
Was your father a devout Catholic?
Yes. Yes, he used to go to church with me. But as I said, when I was born, he was 55 years of age. And he was an old man.
Did you, as a child, obviously these would have been Catholic schools that you went to.
There weren't any Catholic schools.
Oh, there weren't any?
No, not in this area. The Catholic schools weren't built until after the war. It was just, it was just a normal Church of England school. There was no Catholic schools in this area at all. I don't even think there was one at Goole, but now there's Catholic schools in town.
So did you have to have your religious instruction somewhere else apart from the school? Then?
Yeah, the only thing we didn't have to do at school, we never took religion. What did they call it? Was it religion? No, scriptures. We never attended scriptures at school. I read catechism and Sunday school on Wednesdays at the Catholic Church.
So you had to do that on Wednesdays and Sundays?
Sundays, yeah. We had Sunday school.